It's time for the Rink Rats. With your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. We said it at the beginning, we're going to give you the best that we possibly can when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. Doesn't get much better than the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, Gerard Gallant. We are joined by Gerard Gallant. Gerard, how you doing today?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're great. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Obviously, we're really, really close to training camp, and this has got to be like kid in a candy store for you. You've had this roster for a couple of months. We're only a couple of weeks before you start to see how this thing's going to flesh out. How excited are you, and what are you most looking forward to in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we're definitely excited. The coaching staff's been in town for a couple of weeks now, working together, getting to know each other real well. So, you know, getting to see our players starting to come in, they're filtered in pretty quick now that this weekend a lot of the guys are coming in to start skating this week, a lot of the guys, so that's going to be fun. But, no, we're looking forward to getting to meet our players, and rookie camp's going to start next week, and it's just going to come quick. Everything's come quick the last couple of months, so we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, Turk, it's Jesse from Las Vegas Sun. Thanks for coming on.
No problem, anytime.
So when you finally get these guys on the ice, do you have preconceived notions of where you're going to put these guys' lines? I mean, you've had this roster for a couple months to look at, and I know you don't want to set anything. You want to see these guys on the ice, but how much have you looked at what you have and kind of in your mind kind of tried to picture the way things are going to work out?
Well, no, definitely. You definitely do that. That's part of our job. And definitely, you know, you put lines together every day and you try and say, oh, hopefully this will work and hopefully that will work. But, you know, you basically look at your lineup and say, listen, do we have who's our top six forwards, who are the bottom six forwards that we think? And then once training camp comes the start and we see how guys get along and how guys play with each other and how the exhibition games go, that's when you really decide that stuff. But, you know, every coach does the same thing. You put your lines up on the board every day and you start taking with them and you're trying to say, you know, is this going to be a good fit with this guy? Will these guys fit together? And like I said, we're an expansion team. We got a lot of new players coming. So most of these guys haven't played with each other. So it'll take a little bit of time. But I don't think, you know, after three or four exhibition games, the guys get to know each other, they'll feel very comfortable with each other.
Yeah. How different is it heading into this training camp? Because normally, you've got guys that are used to playing with each other. You have set lines, and you're going to change mm-hmm. things around. Guys are going to move up and down. You're going to bring a couple new guys in. But to have a completely clean slate, and you're building this thing from the ground up, how different does this feel heading into this camp than it has in past camps?
You know, it definitely feels different, but it's great. Like you said, we got a clean slate. The players have a clean slate, and that, you know, it's going to come in and earn your spot and earn your place in the lineup, and that's what we want. I mean, there's nothing better than that. Guys want to come to training camp, and you know, they're all getting a clean slate. They're all getting a chance to, you know, be on the first line, be on the second line, wherever you're going to fit with the hockey team. And so that's what's pretty exciting for me and for the guys. And it's, like I said, it's an expansion team, so it's going to be a lot of fun around, but there's going to be a lot of hard work at camp, and guys are going to fight for those spots.
Now, you mentioned something about, you know, you're trying to find out who's going to be your top six, who's going to be your bottom six as far as the forwards go. And when we look at this roster, there is a lot of offensive firepower with David Perron, James Neal. Vadim Shipachyov is a little bit of a question mark, but all indications are he's going to be a dynamic playmaker. And Jonathan Marchessault, is it important to get as much firepower on that top line as possible, or are you going to try to really balance some things out there?
No, I mean, I think if everybody comes in here and has a good season, like when we look at the lineup, we go over to the coaching staff, I think we could, you know, we can put two or three good lines up there that can score consistently. And I don't think you can put one line together and say, we're going to rely on this line to score for us every night. I don't think that's going to work. I think there's enough guys that can score enough goals. And there's some guys that are just coming into their own, like the Lindbergh kid and those type of players. They're going to get an opportunity to probably play more minutes than they played in the past. And they're good hockey players. So, you know, a lot of those kids are going to be able to step up at training camp and show that they deserve a lot of ice time. So I think we'll score some goals, and I think those guys are going to get an opportunity to play in the NHL, and they're going to take full advantage of it. And that's what we're going to need. We're going to need every player to have his best season this year for us.
On the defensive side of things, it's been well documented since the expansion draft that this team's got a logjam of defenders. There's probably too many guys that are of NHL quality than can fit on a roster. How much of a focus is that for you going in? Kind of, you've got to look at these defensemen extra close to decide who's going to make this team.
Yeah, no, we definitely have to do that with the staff and the management staff and the coaching staff. And again, the guys are going to come in and they're going to work earn their spot and play hard. I mean, the most we're going to keep on our roster is eight for sure. And then, but like I said, injuries happen all the time. So, you know, you can never have enough defensemen, and every team says that, and every manager says that. So we'll see where it shakes out and see how they play at camp. And, you know, we'll pick the best players available to make our team win. And like I said, there's probably 9 or 10 guys fighting for those eight spots. So it'll be another battle at training camp. That's what the organization wants.
I think one of the most interesting things going in as far as who's going to make the roster and who might get sent down is the really young guys, a guy like Alex Tuck or Keegan Kolasar or Shea Theodore. What's your philosophy as a coach? Would you rather let those guys, do you think they need NHL experience up in the top level in order to meet their potential? Or would you rather send them down and kind of take the slow approach?
Well, I think again, I think the players are going to dictate where they play. I really do. I mean, they're good young players. They're going to be good prospects for us. You know, some of those guys played some NHL games already, and we're waiting for guys to take the next step. And as long as they show they're coming to training camp and they're in a spot, they're going to get that spot. And I think George has mentioned that, you know. We want our young players to be a big part of our club, and when they're ready, they're going to play on our team. And if it's this year, if it's next year, if it's not play through the year, that's what we want. So, but we want to have an NHL-ready team, ready to compete and battle every night. And like I said, the more kids you can get, the better, but you want to make sure they're ready. You're not going to hurt their careers for the long haul.
This is the Rink Rats. We are joined by Vegas Golden Knights head coach Gerard Gallant. Gerard, talking about young guys, you were out for the development camp, and obviously at that time, it was just kind of a get your feet wet, get in the groove, don't hurt anybody. But now we're going into the rookie camp. Are you excited to see anybody in particular at rookie camp? And what are you going to be paying most attention to? Is it just going to be improvements across the board from development camp? Or is it going to go on off-ice stuff? Like, what are you going to be assessing these rookies on?
No, I mean, we've got all these rookies, like you said, at the end of June. So we've had 2 months to go back. And, you know, we at the development camp, they had a program, a strength and conditioning program. They had, you know, they get in shape for the main camp and all that. So these kids went back, and they're young kids. Most of them are 18-year-old kids or 19-year-old kids, and, you know, they got to learn how to work out properly and do all this stuff. So we sent them back with programs, and hopefully they get their programs, and hopefully they're going to get a little bit better, bigger and stronger and better on the ice. And, you know, we just want to see them continue to get better every time we see them. So we're going to see them at the rookie camp. They're going to play 2 games against the LA rookies in LA, and that's going to be great to see because, you know, you want to see how your kids match up against the other teams. And I think, development camp, I was very impressed with the players that we drafted, the players that we invited. So it should be really interesting. And then, again, those kids are battling to try and make their hockey team.
Now, in talking about the rookies that were drafted, one of the guys that's not going to be at the rookie camp this year is Erik Brännström. Is there any reason for that?
No, I think he's playing over in Europe, and he's ready to play over there. And, I think their season's going to be started already. So Brännström was very impressive when I saw it at the development camp. So he's a kid that's going to be a high, high-end prospect for us. But the management staff made a decision that, you know what, he can stay over there. He can start the season over there instead of coming to camp here. So, you know, it's a big decision for him to stay over there and play, but that's a good thing. Well, he'll develop. He'll play strong over there, and he's playing in a great league over there with the men's league. So it's not a big deal for us.
Turk, since you took over this team, you've probably been asked a million times, what kind of hockey team is this going to be? And I'm going to ask you for a million and once time. just now that you've had this roster for 2 months and you're looking at it and you're finally getting it, because once you get to training camp, it's obviously it's to help these guys get better, but you need to start installing kind of your system and how you want this team to play. Do you have an idea of what style you're going to try to get these guys to play?
Well, I know exactly how I want them to play, but it's a matter of, like you said, we got a lot of work to do for the first day of training camp on. They're going to put our systems into place. We're going to get a bunch of new players. You know, and I don't think it makes a big deal of the systems. I mean, most teams in the NHL play the same way. I mean, there's not a whole lot of different teams. It's about how the teams execute the systems and they work hard and compete. So for me, I want our team coming out ready to battle every night and compete, battle hard. The teams that work the hardest are to win those hockey games. And like I said, we don't have the superstars that some of the teams have around the league with an expansion team, but we've got some good, hard-working, competitive players. We've got some guys who can score goals in the NHL. So for us to be successful, it's going to take 23 guys every night to make a commitment to playing hard and working hard for 20, 60 minutes every night. And that, for me, is the biggest thing right now. We'll see what we got with the team. But I want the guys to play a 200-foot game and play, you know, offensive, defensive the same way on a work ethic. And we got to play as a team. So anytime an expansion team is successful, it's about 23 guys playing as a team and working hard every night.
Now, one guy that is familiar with your style of play and who seemed to really thrive under you last year was Jonathan Marchessault. He got off to a great start when you were coaching him in Florida. What kind of got him to that level, and what do you think his role is going to be on this team?
Well, Jonathan's a guy that took advantage of every opportunity he had last year. He was a guy that played the NHL games with Tampa Bay the year before, and, you know, he basically was a call-up guy. And when we signed up to a 2-year contract last year, he was the guy that was going to be on our third line. And, you know, probably wasn't going to play a whole lot of power play time. And then all of a sudden, he took advantage of Jonathan Huberto getting hurt in the last day of training camp. And he went from being on the third line to being on the first line with Yager and Barkov. And he played every power play. And he's a perfect example of a guy. You know, he had 30 goals last year because he took advantage of the ice time he got. That's the guy earned his spot. So he's definitely going to be an important guy. He scored 30 goals in NHL last year. He's a very confident kid. So he'll get a lot of ice time and power play time with us, and hopefully he can do the same thing.
Coach, I think two of the guys that have gotten the most publicity since the expansion draft have been the two goalies, Marc-Andre Fleury and Calvin Pickard. How nice is it knowing that while the defensive pairs and the forward lines gel, you've got two guys back there in net that have played a ton of NHL games and just are really solid, experienced guys back there that you can count on?
No, I think it's great. Like I said, the two experienced guys. I mean, I just finished. Pickard was our goaltender when I was assistant coach this year with the World Championship with Team Canada, World Championship team in Europe. So he had an outstanding tournament over there, played very well, good solid kid, a lot of fun. And clearly, you don't have to say much about him, you know, with his kind of veteran leadership. So I think the goaltending is where you start with your team, and I think we got two real good ones that are going to, you know, give us a chance to win every game.
Now, speaking of the World Championships, obviously you got a chance to take a look at Vadim Shipachov. What impressed you about his game over there, and what do you think you saw that makes you think that he's going to be able to excel at in the NHL?
Well, he's got very good speed. He's got very good vision. He's a great passer and a playmaker. From what I've seen over here, he doesn't like to shoot the puck a whole lot, but he sure likes to pass the puck and makes real good plays, and he's a very good power play guy. So, you know, his skill level and talent level is very good. It's just a matter of having adjustment to the NHL game, and I assume that shouldn't take too long. So he'll get to know his teammates. He'll get a feel for a couple of players and just to play with those guys, and I think it'll fit in real well because his skill level is very good.
Like you said, Shipachov likes to pass the puck. When you got guys like James Neal, Jonathan Marchessault that love to shoot the puck. When you're trying to put these line combinations together, I mean, we're getting excited. Are you getting excited when you see these players that you've got? I mean, when you hear about an expansion team, and in the past they haven't had the talent that this one has. When you go ahead.
Yeah. No, exactly. We got some good talent. We got some guys that, you know, had very good careers so far in other places. But now it's about putting it together. And you know, we got to get the chemistry going. I mean, it takes some time, and I'm hoping it happens right away. But like I said, the chemistry is a big thing, and leadership and character is a big thing. I mean, we, like you said, there's some talent there, but we got to make sure we got good people that are ready to work and compete hard every night, and you know, do what's best for our hockey team. And I think we got a lot of good guys like that. So, you know, hopefully they'll take off and we'll play real well early and see where it goes from there. Because it's confidence goes a long way in this league, I feel it.
Again, this is the Rink Rats. We are talking with head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, Gerard Gallant. Gerard, you just mentioned leadership, and that's something that obviously a lot of fans in the Valley are interested in. Who's going to be the captain? Who are going to be the alternates? Obviously, we don't have to get into that right now, but how do you go into a season or just into this situation in general looking to establish a leadership group? What are the ways you go about doing that as a coach?
Well, that's the most important thing. It's not who's captain or who's assistant captain. It's who's your leadership group going to be. And obviously, you named a few of those guys already. I mean, Fleury's a big leader. James Neal's a big leader. Some of those guys, Derek Englund's a big leader. So, you know what? Once our guys get into training camp, and, you know, we'll sit down with a couple of those guys and say, listen, who should be the leadership group for this group? And that's how we'll go. I mean, it's usually five or six guys. And And when you got any issues with the coaching staff or any issues with, you know, they want to change the schedule, they want to change the practice time, then, you know, we meet as a group, we discuss it and talk about it, and that's the best way to work things out. But leadership group is very important for your young players, and we're going to have a lot of young players, so to have a good leadership group and help those kids along, that's the most important thing for your hockey team.
Coach, a little bit of a non-hockey thing. I mean, this is such a unique situation. You're moving here, obviously, trying to get settled in, and it's not often you've got 40 guys all trying to get into this city at the same time, none of them who have residences here. How has it? Have you had anything to do with that process, and how crazy has it been this last, I don't know, few weeks as these guys are starting to come into town and trying to get ready for this training camp where, like, there's no other team in the country that's doing this?
Yeah, no, you know what, I have nothing to do with that. I got to take care of myself, and we have a lot of great people at our office that are helping all these players out, and, you know, there's real estate people helping them out, renting homes or buying homes, whatever they're going to do. So that's an ongoing process, and that's been going on since the expansion draft when the players got picked here. So I think by the time the guys get here, they'll all be settled, and that stuff's all taken care of. But it's definitely a lot of work for people, the staff in our office. They do a great job, and they've been very good for our players.
And speaking of getting settled, I mean, finally you get to use that facility. I mean, we've seen it built from the ground up. We've seen it finished product now, and it's spectacular. How excited are you to get these guys into that facility that you've been waiting to get built and get them in that weight room?
Yeah, no, it's outstanding. Like you said, we're 99.5% done. Everything looks great. Our coaching rooms are outstanding. We've been there the last 2 weeks. The weight room was just about, you know, it's almost finished. The dressing was all done, so it's spectacular. The guys are going to love it, and the guys that are here already really like it. So they did an outstanding job.
Now, Gerard, you've been in Vegas off and on a little bit since the rookie development camp. How are you enjoying the city? What are you looking forward to most about making this your home base right now?
No, really enjoyed. I mean, like I said, I've been here for 3 weeks doing expansion draft in June. The thing I'm trying to get used to is it's so hot here in the summertime. I mean, you hate trying to get used to that heat, but it's beautiful. It's nice. I know my wife's going to like it here a lot, and my family comes down to visit. It's a beautiful place to be, so enjoying every bit of it. And like I said, I don't see a whole lot during the hockey season. I go back and forth from home to the arena, so which is a good thing, and that's what I want to do. So it'll be fun. I'm enjoying it. We've got great facilities for us to work in, so real happy and real excited.
Well, the good news is next summer when it's hot, you'll have a key to the practice facility, so you can just go on the ice whenever you want, right?
Next summer I'll be in Canada during a couple of months of the summer just to stay cool.
Gotcha.
It's too hot here in June and July. It's hard to handle. But that is an option for sure.
Yeah. Now, Gerard, I got another question for you. We talked about leadership, but what about identity? How do you go about selecting an identity for this team? And it might have been done for you with what George McPhee has said in the past about what he wants his team to be, but how do you, as a coach, instill that identity in your players, especially in this situation where you've got 40 brand new players that you need to get that message to?
Well, I think that started with George McPhee and his staff when we picked their players. We talked about, you know, we talked about picking good people, players that are willing to come here and work hard and that want to be here, and that's the biggest thing for me. When they want to be here and they want to play hard for your team, that's exactly what you want. But we want good people. We want people that's going to come to the rink, and they're going to be respectful to our staff, and they're going to be respectful to the fans, and we're going to make sure it works out every night. So there's no, I mean, I'm a guy that believes that, you know, there's no excuses. You know, sometimes people are late for different things, and things happen in your life, but there's no excuses. Come to work, do your job real hard, have fun, and then you go back home. So, I mean, we work hard, we got a great lifestyle, and just come to the rink ready to work hard, and when you leave the rink, you can have your fun.
Gerard, you've made it crystal clear since you got here. You want nothing to do with picking the players. That's all George, and you're going to coach them. When it comes to deciding who's going to make the roster, though, do you have a little more input on that, or is that still all George?
No, we're going to talk every day. We talked about it already. When training camp starts, you know, we're going to have little meetings after every day and discuss players and what's the best thing for our team. And we always talk about it, you know. I mean, it's not just for the first month of the season. It's for the whole year of the season. It's what's best for our team to get stronger. And for the last, we don't want to be a team where we come in the first year and say, well, we had a great year, and then the next 2 years are bad years. It's about the long haul with this organization. It's about trying to win a cup, you know, however long that's going to take. But it's doing the right thing for your young players. It's doing the right thing for your bunch of players. So No, we'll sit down, we discuss things, and we'll meet every day. And that's the way George wants it. When I interview for the job, we talked about what he wants, and I'm in agreement with everything that we talked about. So it's all been put out for the both of us. Like I said, they'll have a big part of the players that they draft, the players that they trade for, and I'll have my say. But whatever they want to do with the player personnel, that's what we're going to do. And I'll coach the players to do it.
Well, Gerard, it sounds great. I want to thank you for coming on, and I can't wait to see you guys out on the ice. It'll give us some actual hockey to talk about.
Yes, it will be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much, Gerard Gallant. Everybody, that was Gerard Gallant, head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, here on the Rink Rats. Started with Dan Duva. Then we got Jonathan Marchessault, a guy who's very familiar with Gerard Gallant. And then we got Gerard Gallant. So clearly next is probably going to be Riley Smith or somebody from the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not sure who, but we're going to continue to bring you the best guests that we can possibly get. Again, huge shout out to Sage Sammons. He's the guy facilitating all these interviews. We can't do it without him, so thank you again.
Yes, yeah, Sage is the god of this show. He's the one that gets us these guys. He's pulling the puppet strings. And I feel like I feel like the progression of our guests.
Yeah.
Are like connected in a chain. Like we brought on Duva, and it's like, Duva, who's your favorite player? Yeah. Who are you looking forward to call?
Yeah.
Marchessault. So we get Marchessault.
Right.
We get Marchessault on here, and he has nothing but good things to say about Gallant, who mm-hmm. coached him in Florida, and now we got Gallant.
Yep.
So now we
got to get a Russian interpreter in here so we can interview Shipachev, right? Try to figure out how he's going to spell his name, how he wants it pronounced, because I still don't know. We're so close to the season, I have no idea how to pronounce his name.
I actually think it'd be good if we could just get Shipachev in studio, and just with no translator, and just us speak English to him and him speak Russian to us, and it'd just be entertaining.
You know, he could say whatever he wants. We would have no idea what it is. And I should know, because I'm part Russian, so I should know this stuff, and I don't, and it makes me kind of upset that I don't, considering the field of work that I'm in right now. But, anyway, he's going to do all of his talking on the ice, I think, and that's good, right?
Yeah.
Top line center?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, from everything we've seen, we don't have any reason to believe he's not a top line center.
Sure.
Let's talk about some of the stuff that Gallant went over with us, though. I thought it was very interesting how he already, like, I personally went into this thinking Gallant was going to tell us, no, I have no preconceived notions. These guys are going to earn it on the ice the hard way.
Sure.
Because that's just how he is.
Yeah.
But I found it interesting that he and George probably have line combinations in their mind already, and they're just going to see if they work on the ice.
To be honest with you, I think that they've had line combinations in their mind since before the expansion draft, obviously. Now, I think and it makes a lot of sense in dissecting what he said about Vadim Shipachev, right? He doesn't like to shoot the puck a whole lot. So that needs to be complemented somehow with who he's playing with. So to me, Gerard is saying he's got to play with somebody that shoots the puck. So he's got to play with James Neal, David Perron, or Jonathan Marchessault. That to me seems like that's the trajectory of the first line. And it's very interesting, the thing that he said about Marchessault, because we talked about it last week, and he talked about it last week. The only change in his game that turned him from a 7-goal scorer, really, if you extrapolate, it would have been about 15 goals for an entire 82-game mm-hmm. season. From a 15-goal scorer to a 30-goal scorer, it wasn't line mates, it wasn't an uptick in skill, it wasn't going, spending countless hours in the summer perfecting his game. It was opportunity and ice time. So that again, is just another glowing endorsement mm-hmm. of Jonathan Marchessault, the player, and what we can expect from him. It's going to only get better, assuming he gets that responsibility and that ice time.
Which he will. This isn't a team where he can get buried. I mean, he's going to have to score for this team.
Right.
He's going to be that guy. And I swear this is going to be the Jonathan Marchessault podcast. It seems like every week we bring a guy on, I just get higher and higher on this guy. I have no doubt he's closer to the 30-goal scorer than mm-hmm. he is to the 7-goal scorer.
Yeah.
And whether he can get the 30 goals again, I mean, it takes a lot of luck in the NHL. You got to get the puck in the right spots. I mean, it's not necessarily like guaranteed he's going to get the 30 goals just because he gets the ice time. But I mean, I'm excited to see Jonathan Marchessault on the ice as a first or second line.
Right. Wing. And the thing about Jonathan that I think is interesting is he is a worker, right? And that's what Gerard Gallant was talking about. And you go back and listen to all of his answers, and pretty much everything that he said is these guys are going to work hard, right? So when he answered that question about a leadership group, I have no doubt that Jonathan Marchessault is in there because he knows how Gerard Gallant coaches. He knows how to get the best out of himself in that system. And I really think that he's going to be one of those guys that he's there first, he leaves last, he works on everything. And he's just a very intriguing guy because you're talking about, like you've said multiple times, he scored the same amount of goals as Connor McDavid. You want to know who else scored 30 goals last year? Artemi Panarin. Okay, so you're talking about elite goal scorers there. Alex Ovechkin only had 33. Granted, it was a down year, but still, you're talking about very, very good production from this guy and Jonathan Marchessault, because you just got to hope that with more ice time and a bigger role, he's going to excel and get even better.
Yeah, so the only question left is Jonathan Marchessault wearing a C or an A?
I think he's going to be an alternate.
I agree.
I feel like... And I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like if you're looking at captains, right, they're probably going to go defense.
Yeah.
It's either going to be
Garrison was mine.
It's either going to be Garrison or Neal, just based on how long they've played in the league. And I want to say Garrison. I don't think it's going to be Englund because I don't know how much Englund's really going to play day in and day out.
I could see why people, and I've seen that like on social media that Englund could be, but like, yeah, I mean, a guy that's probably the least talented guy on the roster.
Sure.
Being wearing that C. I just don't. Yeah. Garrison would be. The thing is, if goalies were allowed to wear the C, it's easy. This is a piece of cake. We're not even having this conversation.
Sure.
It's
sure.
Clearly Marc-Andre Fleury, but he won't be wearing it. So you got to find the next best leader. And I think we don't know these guys. We haven't gotten to hang out with them that much. I've talked to Garrison twice.
Right.
He seems like a guy that could definitely end up with a C on his chest.
You know, the thing about Garrison that I like is that he doesn't seem like he's going to be a guy that gets rattled. He went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's played with very, very high-end elite talent in Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. So he's been around a very successful team, and he knows how to win, right? Like, I'm not talking about intangibles. I'm just talking about he's been in a winning culture. So he understands preparation. He understands what you need to do day in and day out to be a professional and to win games. And you know what you're getting with him. You know, if he only scores 5 goals, that's great. That's what Jason Garrison does. He shuts it down defensively. He's not going to chip in with a ton of offense. He's got a good shot, not super accurate, but it is what it is. You're not going to have to worry about, oh, your captain's underperforming. You're not going to have to worry about that. Whereas if you throw it on James Neal only scores 15 goals. It's the first time in his career, first time in 11 years, he hasn't scored 20 goals in a season. That's a whole different can of worms that you don't need for an expansion team. If I had to guess, it would probably be Garrison, Neal, and Marchessault probably earn the A's.
I can see, yeah, that sounds like a reasonable guesses.
Yeah,
like
and the other thing too, and Gallant said it as well, it's not just three guys that are going to wear the letters. It's going to be by committee. He mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury. To your point, this is a guy that's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's been around the league for a long time, ultimate pro, consummate teammate. He's absolutely going to speak up in the locker room, and when he does, this team will listen.
Oh, he's without a doubt, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He speaks quieter than any human being I've ever heard in my life. So when he speaks up, everyone's going to listen. It's going to have to be quiet in the locker room.
Sure.
No, take your headphones off. Marc-Andre Fleury speak, because he's not a loud guy.
No.
Very quiet. But what he says has a lot of hockey experience and a lot of winning behind it. So these guys will definitely listen. And I feel like they've got a good mixture of veterans and young guys at pretty much every group, the forwards, the defensemen, and the goaltending, which is what you need.
Right. It's just the only thing missing right now, and again, it might not be missing because, like we said, Vadim Shipachyov might turn into an absolute beast, be an elite scorer in general in this league, but you're missing a Connor McDavid or you're missing a Sidney Crosby, and those don't come around every year. They don't come around every generation, really. So understand that, yes, there isn't one of those players on this team, but top to bottom, they're as good as most other teams in the league.
Yeah, I think the bottom of the Golden Knights roster is as good, if not better, than some of the other like bottom half teams, yeah. non-playoff teams. It's just when you look at the top three guys. If you look at the top three guys, if you just took the top three players off of all 31 teams, the Golden Knights, not only are they the worst, it's a gigantic drop-off. I just feel like that's where their top-end talent, they just don't have it. And it's not their fault. I mean, they're an expansion team, but I think that's really, like I said, the bottom-end talent is there.
Right.
They just don't have those studs that other NHL teams have.
But that might be where they make up their, you know, they make up their goals. It's going to be a balanced attack, and you're going to be able to get matchups. You're going to be able to find a way to sneak on Shipachov, Neal, and Marchessault in certain situations and hope. And to be completely honest with you, we don't know what this team's going to look like on the power play. They might have the right mentality. Workman's mentality of getting pucks to the net on the power play. They might have a very good power play because of that. There's a lot of teams that have a lot of talent. I'm speaking specifically about the Pittsburgh Penguins, that you look at them and they should just be lights out on the power play, and they don't have any chemistry. They don't work hard for it because they just rely on their talent. So I think that there are some aspects of the game that are really going to play into the Golden Knights' hands once the season starts. Power play, special teams, penalty kill are probably going to be their strong suit.
I think, and to your point of like Pittsburgh and teams like that, Washington Capitals, they try to be too fancy and they try to get that highlight goal. They try to get that pretty goal, whereas sometimes just send the puck on net.
Yeah,
throw it. It gets deflected and it goes in. That's I feel like sometimes you always want to make that extra pass to get it, but sometimes it's one pass too many.
It's just less is more. And a lot of teams that have a lot of talent don't understand that. And then teams that don't have as much, it's get it to the net and see what you can do. Crash, bang, get it in, you know?
To me, that's my biggest worry for Shipachov is he's used to the bigger rink, having more room. He's a fancy guy. He with those saucer passes, those saucy saucer passes that we've been salivating over all offseason. Sometimes you can't be that fancy, and it's the same thing happens in like basketball, for example, when guys come over from Europe and they're so used to that flashy style of play, and then they come over to the NBA and it's just so much more physical, and the NHL is the same way. I'm just worried that Shipachov is going to try to do too much and try to be too fancy instead of just making the simple pass, and we'll see. I could be completely wrong, but that if there is a worry of Shipachov, that would be my worry.
Yeah, and I share the same worry as you do because, you know, when you look at who he was playing with over in the World Championships, he was playing with Nikita Kucherov. Like, we're not talking about a guy that's a scrub. We're talking about an elite player in this league and a very creative player as well in Nikita Kucherov. So my worry for Shipachov is the same, is that he's going to get too fancy. He's going to get too cute. He's going to look for a pass when he should just shoot the puck. But I think, If you put him with a guy like James Neal or even David Perron, who's had ups and downs in this league and understands what it's like to score at this level, that's going to rub off eventually. Eventually, it's going to be James Neal saying, "Stop passing me the puck and shoot," you know, and that will go a long way to his development as well. So, you know, we're looking at the Vegas Golden Knights. We had a very good conversation with Gerard Gallant, head coach. Can't thank him enough for coming into the studio. We're going to shift our attention right now to the Central Division. It's going to be the third installment of our season preview. And I want to start the Central off with a team that, to me, did a lot in the offseason. Okay? I don't know how much it's going to mean, but I think they're vastly improved, and that's the Dallas Stars. Alexander Radulov is always going to be a question mark to me, especially when you consider the fact he's going to be playing with Ken Hitchcock, and Ken Hitchcock has a very interesting style for a player like Alexander Radulov, who's used to just going out there, free-flowing, not super interested in the defensive aspects of the game.
That's to put it lightly.
How is that going to work?
I don't know. And that's why Dallas is one of the most interesting teams. I feel like that's been the buzzword team around the league in the offseason, because obviously the Radulov, they brought in Martin Hansel. a guy that scored 39 points last year.
Yeah.
The Stars are completely overhauled, and Hitchcock is part of that. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how such a stern, organized, do what I say, when I say it, how I say it, coach, yep, is going to mix with a team that not only has a guy like Radulov that obviously doesn't fit that style, but just there's a lot of new moving pieces with this team, including Ben Bishop at goal.
Right. Now, that's the other question mark to me, because I look at Ben Bishop and I see a guy, first of all, why this didn't happen last year, why they didn't make a trade for Ben Bishop last season when they had a very talented team that could put the puck in the net, but no goaltending to save their life between Kari Lehtinen and Antti Niemi. I don't understand it. And then I don't understand what the hell the Kings were thinking trying to bring in Ben Bishop at the trade deadline when they simply needed goal scoring. And I don't know if you know this, but Ben Bishop plays goal. He doesn't score them. So that all being said, right, Ben Bishop a year and a half ago, 2 years ago on the Dallas Stars makes them instant contenders. But he hasn't really been that good the last couple of years. Andre Vasilevsky ascended to that starting position.
Yep.
And then there were questions there. Bishop was playing in much the same way Marc-Andre Fleury was last year. He was playing a 1A, 1B style. He wasn't getting into a rhythm, wasn't getting the starts that he wanted. Is he still an elite number one goalie in this league? And is he going to be the one that gets the Stars back into the playoffs?
Is he an elite goalie? Absolutely not. Not anymore. To me, it's not even a question. Ben Bishop's not an elite goalie.
Yep.
But he is, I think, one of the best 31 goalies in the NHL, meaning he's good enough to be a number one goalie.
Right.
And when you're talking about Antti Niemi and Kari Lehtinen, that's what makes Ben Bishop look so good.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, okay, is a Big Mac great? No, it's terrible. But if you've been eating ramen for 3 years, that Big Mac is delicious.
Yeah. No, I get the analogy.
He's not great. He's decent. He's not going to lose you every game. He's going to be solid in there, and he's just so much better. Their goaltending last year.
So bad.
It was the worst in the league, and I can't even think of a team that's even close to how bad their goaltending was. It was just so bad. So, like I said, Ben Bishop's not great. He's going to come in, and he's going to be a vast improvement over what they had last year.
Right.
Plus all the other additions that they made. I think the Stars make a push for that fourth spot in the standings, which would probably get them in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because a lot of people looking at this team, they see the Nashville Predators from last season where it's the fancy Stanley Cup pick. They're going to go all the way. They're going to gel. They've got all these pieces now. Jamie Benn had an off year. He's going to get better, but don't discount the fact that they lost Patrick Sharp. Jason Spezza is probably going to move to the wing, which is, you know, I guess good for him, although he's been a center for 14 years. I don't know how that adjustment's going to go. And then you're talking about a very offensively minded team that's going to have to change their entire scheme to be very defensive minded. I don't think Jamie Benn's going to have a problem with that, but I don't know how Tyler Seguin's going to do with that as well. A lot of the questions I have about Radulov are the same ones I have about Seguin.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, it's this team is not going to, I mean, and we saw it with Nashville. You can sneak into the playoffs and end up in the Stanley Cup. It happens in hockey more than any other sport, other than maybe baseball. But I don't think this is going to be a contender. I mean, they could sneak up on some people. I don't think this team's going to be a contender. They don't have, like the Golden Knights, they don't have those top end elite players that are going to win you games or win you playoff series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that they're probably a playoff team this year just based on the fact that I don't know that there are, you know, four teams better than them, I guess, is where I'm going to go with it. So the next team I want to talk about is the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, they had a fantastic year last year, and then it all came to pass in the playoffs, which is just another Bruce Boudreau failure, unfortunately. I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't, because I feel like they're closer to the team that was very, very good last year. But to me, they haven't done very much this offseason.
I don't think they needed to. So like I had my crush on the Ottawa Senators.
Okay.
That's nothing compared to my crush on the Minnesota. No. I absolutely love the Minnesota Wild. My favorite team in the league. Not like from a, obviously I'm an Avalanche fan because I grew up there, but just.
We'll talk
from
about them.
The players. Yeah, let's not. The players that are on these teams and just from a standpoint of personnel, the Minnesota Wild are my favorite team in the NHL. I think that Devan Dubnyk is the most underrated goalie in the league. He might be the most underrated player in the entire NHL.
That's fair.
In the last 3 years, he has the second most wins of any goalie in the league, only to Holtby, who was playing with the freaking Capitals. Right. Dubnyk is playing with the Minnesota Wild, who have not been great up until last year. They kind of had their breakout year.
Right.
He's second in save percentage. He's second in goals allowed in the entire league over the last 3 years. And you never hear his name mentioned with the Bobrovskis, the Holtbys, the Lundqvist, the
Carey Prices,
yeah. All these guys that you consider elite goalies. I think Devan Dubnyk is just as good as those guys, and he's younger than most of them.
Right.
Plus, you take that, I love their blue line. Mm-hmm. Ryan Sutter, Jason Spurgeon, Matt Dumba, who everybody knows I love Matt Dumba.
Yeah.
And Jonas Brodin, who either of those could have been Golden Knights, but they aren't.
Right.
They've got that solid blue line. Mm-hmm. They've got one of the best goalies in the league. They just need their forwards to come along. And I feel like a lot of them were last year.
Right. Now, Eric Staal had a fantastic year last year with the Minnesota Wild. And in much the same way we're talking about Ken Hitchcock being a fantastic defensive-minded coach, Bruce Boudreau is a 180 from that. Bruce Boudreau is a very creative, very offensively-minded coach, which makes this very interesting because he doesn't have to worry about the defense. He doesn't have to worry about that top four on the back end. What he has to worry about is his top six. And getting Zach Parise healthy is going to be the key. If that guy misses time, and it's pretty much the exact same thing we said about the Tampa Bay Lightning. If Steven Stamkos has injury issues, this team isn't making the playoffs. But if Zach Parise, in much the same way, can stay healthy, Minnesota is a very, very dangerous team. Eric Staal, like I said, has solidified that second line center spot. He's a very, very good player, still very effective. And, you know, they're a faster team than most give them credit. Mm-hmm. And I think that they might be tops in the division.
Nino Niederreiter, Koivu.
Yeah.
Our boy from Vegas, Zucker.
Yeah.
And obviously Marcus Granlund, who is
sneaky fast.
He doubled his point production from the previous year last year.
Yeah.
And I expect him to improve even more this year. This team is scary balanced.
Right.
And they just don't have the flashy names that the Toronto Maple Leafs have, or the Nashville Predators have with PK. Like, they don't have those guys that everyone wants to tune in to watch. Nobody's thinking, oh, I can't wait to see Granlund play on Wednesday Night Hockey, but they're so deep. And that's why the Wild were in such a predicament when it came to the expansion draft.
Yeah.
They were probably in a worse spot than any team in the entire NHL.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, because you can only protect so many guys, and they had a bunch of really good young players that were still exposed. And that's because this team is deep. I fully expect the Minnesota Wild to win this division, and I could see them they're one of my three or four teams to contend for a Stanley Cup next year.
Now, I agree with you. I think they're probably tops in the division. I think Chicago's fallen off a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute. But my only concern, and it's always going to be my concern with a Bruce Boudreau coached team, not that all of the playoff losses are on him, but most of them are, can they win in the playoffs?
That's the question with everyone. I don't think this is a Capitals type situation. This isn't a team that is clearly the better team in the playoffs, and they get there and they crack under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild have just been building, I think, and last year I don't think that they live up to their potential in the playoffs. No, but I don't think they came in there and laid an egg. When you get to the NHL playoffs, it's tough to win.
Yeah, it's true. So, Minnesota, you got them finishing first?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think we're in agreement there. Now, the Nashville Predators are the next team that I want to talk about. Now, Nashville was very interesting because going into last season, they were the consensus pick for the Stanley Cup, and then they went out. PK Subban was dealing with injuries. They never really gelled. They never really meshed. That trade seemed like it didn't really go Nashville's way, and then they sneak into the playoffs. play out of their mind. Ryan Johansson emerges as a legit number one center. Philip Forsberg has a little bit of a coming out party. Victor Arvidsson takes a step up. They lose Mike Fisher, but they do bring in Nick Bonino, a guy that has multiple Stanley Cups. What do you think about this team? Where do they go from here?
I think the Predators are going to have a they're going to take a step back, but they aren't actually going to take a step back. So bear with me here.
Okay.
People will be disappointed in the Predators, and they will think the Predators had a bad year this upcoming season, but it won't. They're going to have the same season they had this year. Mm-hmm. This team was the 16th best team in the league.
Yep.
That means there were more teams, the exact amount of teams better than them than there was worse than them at the end of the regular season. They were dead center in the league.
Right.
And then they got really hot over a couple months and went to the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. This isn't the Pittsburgh Penguins or even the Washington Capitals. This isn't a team that's clearly one of the best teams in the league. They just got really hot. Mm-hmm. I think they come out and do a similar thing and just either barely make the playoffs or kind of get like a six seed or something and then probably lose in the first or second round, which people will see that as a step back, but I think this team is what it is, and they just got really hot for those two months.
Now, we talked about Minnesota having a solid top four. When you look at Nashville, they've got a solid top three in Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, and P.K. Subban. Does Minnesota clearly has a better defense, correct?
Yes.
Right.
They have a better defensive defense. Mm-hmm. The Predators' defensemen are more dangerous on the offensive end,
right?
I would say.
Now, the other question mark going into this, because I'm trying to look at who they might have issues with in the playoffs, and I think Minnesota would be a matchup disaster for them.
Absolutely.
That all being said, Pekka Rinne, man, there's so much you can say about his year last year. It was up and down. It was all over the place. But here's what matters. The guy couldn't stop a puck in Pittsburgh, and he was a wall in Nashville. And that's the difference between winning a Stanley Cup and losing a Stanley Cup. Can Pekka Rinne play at the level he was last year?
Pekka Rinne's season was all over the place, like the puck when he makes a stop. The dude's rebound control hurts my eyes to watch. As someone who plays goalie that is nowhere near as good as Pekka Rinne, my rebound control is probably about on his level. It's just hold on to the puck, man, and don't kick save it into the slot every time they shoot from the corner.
Yeah.
He kick saves it into the, like, they couldn't set the pass in the slot for their own guy better than Rinne does off of his right leg. Stop it.
So Nashville, do they make the playoffs?
I think they do. I think they barely make it. Like you said, there are nightmare matchups, and the Wild are one of them. Any mm-hmm. team with depth.
Yep.
We talked about their big three, Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson. Mm-hmm. Those guys all play on the same line. And
sure.
you talked to Gallant about, do you try to spread the wealth, or do you just stack that line? And they clearly have stacked that line, and those guys played well together, so they're going to keep them together. But after that, with losing Neil and Fisher, it's like, is this team going to have enough on the other three lines to keep them in these games when these guys are off the ice? And I think the answer is no.
Yeah, and I mentioned Bonino, but the thing about Bonino that's interesting is this guy's been a third-line center on a very stacked team in Pittsburgh, which has allowed him to thrive. He will be stepping into a top six center role, so he'll be the second line center. Is he going to be able to play at that level? That's kind of where he was with Anaheim, and he didn't play very well there. So that'll be something interesting to see. I think they do make the playoffs, but I agree with you. They're taking a step back without actually taking a step back. So they're interesting. A team to me that's very interesting, and not because NBC Sports Network shoves them down our throat all year long. I'm talking about the Chicago Blackhawks, okay? Jonathan Toews has not been the same since Brandon Saad was traded. Patrick Kane is Patrick Kane all day long. He can make anybody around him better in much the same way Sidney Crosby does. So you trade Artemi Panarin, a sniper, a bona fide 30-goal scorer, someone that has fantastic chemistry with Patrick Kane, in order to bring back Brandon Saad to get Jonathan Toews going. Is this enough?
This is the weirdest trade.
It's odd.
That I can ever remember in sports. You have a guy that is clearly better.
Yes.
And younger.
Yes.
With a higher ceiling.
Yes.
He's better now.
Yep.
He's going to be better in 5 years. He's
probably
better.
Yep.
And the and you gave him up for a guy that's worse than him at pretty much everything only because he seems to play well with your star player. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I think it's completely moronic.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I will say this. If Saad gets Taves back to the Taves that we're used to, it's probably worth it.
But Taves is a 60-point guy. He's always been a 60-point guy. Like, you don't need Jonathan Taves to be a 60-point guy when you have Artemi Panarin sitting at flirting with 80 points and Patrick Kane flirting with 100 points. You don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, I you can't argue with the numbers. He's a 60-point guy, but I think he's better than those numbers. When he's on and you're in the third period and it's a tie game.
Yeah.
I like the puck on Jonathan Taves' stick.
No, I do too, and I'm not that. I guess that's not the point that I'm arguing. The point that I'm arguing is, I think Chicago has this identity crisis with what Jonathan Taves is, right? Like, because he makes $10.5 million a year, he's got to be leading them in scoring. That's not his game. That's not what matters. It's situational with Jonathan Taves.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's absolutely situational, and that part of his game hasn't gone. Him in big situations, that's not changed, at least not to my eyes. You can't bring in Brandon Saad and give up Artemi Panarin hoping that Jonathan Taves goes from a 60-point guy to a 68-point guy. That's the wrong way to go about this. I think Chicago is in a worse spot than they were last year.
Oh, absolutely. This team and the surprise retirement for Marian Hossa doesn't help.
I mean, nudge.
How weird was that?
That's a lot.
I mean, he's what? I think he's like 38.
38, yeah. He's still got four years on his deal.
He scored 26 goals last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. It's weird. I mean, I'm not saying that the Chicago Blackhawks are being, you know, that they're hiding something with that so that they don't have to pay a cap recapture penalty. I would never suggest that ever, but probably that's what's happening right there. And I don't know why, because he could help this team bringing so you do that to Marian Hossa and then you bring back Patrick Sharp. Like, what are you doing? Stan Bowman is losing it completely.
This team is clearly worse than they were last year. Yep. And we haven't even brought up my favorite position. They lose Darling.
Big loss.
I think he's the best goalie on the team.
Absolutely.
Crawford is still a good goalie, don't get me wrong. But that's a huge 1A, 1B, and you just lost the 1A, not the 1B.
Right, and the other thing with Crawford, too, is he's oft injured. He is. He's not been healthy for an entire season. That's going to present some problems. I don't want to go out and say that the Chicago Blackhawks don't make the playoffs, but if there was a year that was going to happen, it's probably this year.
And we didn't mention Hjalmarsson. They lost him too. This team lost a lot, and a lot of it was self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, and we talked a lot with McPhee about this heading into the expansion draft. It's like, how nice is it that you have? I did a story that was basically, how nice is it that you don't have any bad contracts?
Right.
The death of every GM is bad contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get hired as a GM, you're usually getting hired to a crappy team.
Yep.
And that crappy team usually has bad contracts, and that's what has made them crappy.
Yeah.
McPhee gets this job and gets to start fresh.
I know.
He gets to try to avoid what has gotten the Blackhawks into this trouble. Right. And did they win some Stanley Cups because of it? Yes. And is it worth it? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it will catch up with you, and it has caught up with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're paying two players 21 million, 22 million, your salary cap's only 75. That's a problem.
Yeah. You still have 20 some other guys to fill
exactly.
out.
Exactly. It's rough. So yeah, I want to make that bold prediction and say Chicago doesn't make the playoffs, but I don't know if I can, but they're not winning the division. That's for sure.
No, I think the division goes to either the Minnesota Wild or the team we're about to talk about right now, which is the St. Louis Blues. I really love the Blues.
Yeah, you know, I don't. I didn't like them last year, and I was surprised that they did as well as they did, but I'm sorry. I'm bringing it back to goaltending. I do not trust Jake Allen ever. Like, this is a guy that is one... He's one way, he's a wall, he can stop everything, and then the next night he can't figure out how to save anything. I mean, the guy is not consistent enough for me to buy the Blues at all.
I don't disagree. And it's weird for me to like a team that has inconsistent goaltending because that's like my thing. But they do have a great blue line. I think the Blues' blue line is still the best in the NHL, even after losing Shattenkirk.
I think they're better because they lost Shattenkirk, if I'm being honest.
That could be true. But with Bouwmeester, Parayko, Petrangelo, this team, and it's not just, like we talked about Nashville, they've got a better offensive blue line.
Right.
Whereas Minnesota's got a better defensive. These guys do everything.
They do.
The Blues' defensive pairings are sickening how good they are. But can they get enough on offense other than Tarasenko?
Well, that was what I was going to say to you. I mean, you look at the blue line, that's great. And that's going to be the theme for all of the teams in the Western Conference, which to me is interesting that the Golden Knights kind of steered away from solidifying the defense and went more offensively minded with the forwards. But that's a topic for another day once we get into the season. But with the Blues, there's Vladimir Tarasenko, and then what?
As an Avs fan, they need Paul Stastny to be the guy that they thought he was going to be when they got him from the Avs. In his first 8 years with the Avalanche, he had six of the eight, he scored 20 goals or more.
Right.
In 4 years with the Blues, or heading into his fourth year with the Blues, he hasn't hit 20 yet. Not, and he hasn't been terrible. It's not like Stastny's been just awful. He's been getting 18, 19 goals, but they need him to be that guy that they thought they were getting when they got him from the Avs.
Right. No, I agree. And what worries me about that is they're trying to get that out of a guy that's going into his 13th and 14th year. Like, he's not going to get better. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be better than what he was last year. If he's the same, great, but he's probably going to regress. And again, Vladimir Tarasenko is going to score.
Yes, he is.
Regardless of the matchups going up against him, that guy is a machine. He's going to score. But to me, they need another dynamic offensive threat in order for me to buy them as a playoff team. Yes, contenders, absolutely not.
If I had to pick a guy that could step up, it's Jaden Schwartz. I think he could become that guy. I don't know if he's going to become that guy this year. And I don't think they're a contender. Like I said, I think Minnesota's the best team in this division. But it's just hard to not think this team is going to be top three in the division with that defense that they've got. And like you said, Allen isn't consistent. But when he's on, it's a shutout. I mean, the dude is...
Yeah, but when he's off, he gets Ken Hitchcock fired. He has to be sent. He has to be sent home. He's not even allowed on a road trip because he's so bad. Like, and then he gets rid of his mask. He gets rid of his pads. He goes to whatever it was he was wearing then, and comes back and is an amazing goalie. And it's really, really funny to look at this team, right? Because it was always Brian Elliott's the better goalie. Why do you keep going to Jake Allen? Then they ship Brian Elliott out to Calgary. The guy stinks up the joint in Calgary. He's the reason that team lost in the first round of the Anaheim Ducks. And then you're like, oh, well, Jake Allen, he's making everybody with the Blues look really, really smart. But I still don't buy him. I can't. They'll make the playoffs, but they'll probably be out in the first round. That's my guess.
I'm a little higher on them than you are, but yeah, I'm not picking the Blues to win the Stanley Cup or anything.
Okay, so here are the two teams that I think one team should be better than they are, and I still think they're just not going to be very good, and that's the Winnipeg Jets. And then the last team we're going to talk about is the Colorado Avalanche, and that could be as brief as you want it to be, because I know that that's a touchy subject.
I just wish Joe Sakic could put those skates on instead of sitting up in the office. I honestly think he'd be the best player on this team, and he's like 70.
Make a trade, maybe do that, maybe do that job.
Or just do the job that you're currently doing.
That you were hired to do.
This team is such a freaking mess, and to watch these guys that I like grew up like worshiping, Sakic and Waugh, just tear this team into just bits and pieces and just set it on fire.
It all started with Patrick.
This team's so bad.
Yeah.
They have young pieces that a lot of teams would kill for.
Why haven't they moved then?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because Sakic won't answer the phone, I guess. I don't know. But it's not like this team doesn't have, like, if you were to like do a draft of players in the league, just an expansion draft for all 31 teams, the Avs got guys that people want.
Sure.
They just they're so young. They never get anyone that can help those guys mesh. I feel like the Avalanche are playing pickup hockey, whereas everyone else in the league is playing NHL hockey.
You know what? I look at the Edmonton Oilers from a couple of years ago, where they kept getting number one overall picks, and they kept addressing, hey, we're going to take the best player available. But is that the best player for our franchise? Well, no, because we need a number one defenseman. But hey, we got Nail Yakupov. We can't pass up on that guy, who ironically is going to be in Colorado this year. Which is
how many centers have the Avalanche drafted in a row in the first round?
It's ridiculous. But that's the point, right? They have inept management. As great of a player as Joe Sakic was, he is clearly not a GM. Clearly not. Because if he was, Matt Duchene still wouldn't be playing with the Colorado Avalanche. If he was serious about shopping Nathan MacKinnon, he'd be out, which is the piece I don't think you shop.
I was going to say, I do not want MacKinnon
shopped
out.
I'm saying yeah. if he was serious about it, because every time Joe Sakic is in the news, no players off limits, we no one's safe here. Well, apparently everybody is, because you haven't made a move and you've got pieces. Gabriel Landeskog, he's not the player that they wanted him to be, but he's still a very, very good player that a lot of teams would want. He's still there. Why? It doesn't make any sense. Joe Sakic is doing nothing to make this team better, and that's the problem. And I think they're going to be the worst team in the league again this year, and it's going to be by a wide margin.
They lost their best goalie, too. They protected the wrong goalie.
Which is ridiculous.
Varlamov is old and hurt and injured. Was he good 10 years ago? Yeah. Calvin Pickard is the best goalie on that team, and they gave him to the Golden Knights. So better for Vegas. The Avs are going to be bad. That's the saving grace. If Golden Knights fans, if you're like out there worried, like, oh, I hope we just don't finish last, don't worry.
No.
The Avs got that on lock.
That is reserved for Colorado. All right, so let's turn our attention to a team that should be better than they are, the Winnipeg Jets. They still haven't put it together. I don't understand why. There's an influx of very, very good young talent. Mark Scheifele has found chemistry with Patrick Laine. You've got Dustin Byfuglien leading your defense. I don't really know what to make of their goaltending. It's young. It's unproven. But shouldn't this team be closer to the playoffs than they are to last in the division?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I think they're similar to the Avs, but just not the disaster that the Avs are.
Right.
They've just got a bunch of guys that have talent but don't play well together, and they're not doing anything to improve that. And like you said, their goaltending is bad. The Avs actually have better goaltending than Winnipeg does.
That's possible.
It's just, I don't know. There's no way Winnipeg's making the playoffs this year. I'll straight up say that.
I don't see it either. But I feel like they should be better. And it's funny because a lot of people have talked about Patrick Laine, right? And he's going to be the guy. And he said it. He's better than Austin Matthews. Goal scoring, he's dynamic. But he's not the type of guy that changes your entire franchise overnight.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that before. Crosby was one. Ovechkin was one. McDavid is one.
Matthews is one.
Jack Eichel flirts with it if he can only stay healthy. But, I mean, let's put it to bed.
Brännström is one.
He'll be one. Yeah, I think he will. He's going to develop. So, Winnipeg, you have him finishing, what, second to last?
Second to last. And I'm not as high on them as you are. I think they'd be last in most divisions, but the Avs are just...
I agree with you. You put them anywhere else.
I think the Avs finished like in the middle of the pack in the AHL.
It's a good thing that the NHL doesn't have relegation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Colorado with it,
they'd be in the ECHL by now.
Yeah, they probably would be middle of the pack there too. It's horrible.
Yeah.
All right, so that rounds up the Central Division. The Chicago Blackhawks are going in the wrong direction. Obviously, Jesse and I both think Minnesota is the team to beat there. St. Louis will be interesting to watch. Chicago will be interesting to watch just because if they get off to a bad start, Stan Bowman is probably on the hot seat. Maybe even Joel Quenneville. I don't know.
Yes.
It's interesting to see that. And Jonathan Toews better start scoring 68 points because that's why they brought Brandon Saad in.
We gave away our best young player, so you can have your buddy.
Yep. You better make it work. So, really quick before we get out of here, Will Butcher. Yeah.
Let's just do some updates. So,
broke our heart.
First update, Will Butcher. Doesn't like money.
Yeah, apparently not.
Now, is he going to pay half that in taxes in New Jersey? Yes. But the Devils don't have defensemen.
Nope.
The Golden Knights don't have any top defensemen, but they've got a lot of defensemen that are better than Will Butcher. And
right.
He was just probably afraid. The guy could have went to Colorado to the NHL 3 years ago, but
right.
He chose to stay at DU. He mm-hmm. wanted to play at DU. He won himself a national championship. He's ready to go to the NHL, and I think that was the determining factor. He chose the Devils over the Golden Knights because he had a better chance of making the NHL roster.
See, I look at Will Butcher, and I think that as hard of a push the Vegas Golden Knights were making for him, he would have played in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted him on the team.
Yep.
And then last update, still no Golden Knights on Cox. Jesse Granger no longer has Cox. Jesse Granger now has DirecTV. Made that switch this week.
How was that for you?
Piece of cake.
Yeah?
I wasn't under contract at Cox, so I didn't have to do like a buyout or anything. No contract. Called up DirecTV. Because my girlfriend was a previous DirecTV owner, they sent her a thing in the mail. So you get like a $200 Visa gift card for joining.
Oh,
plus,
wow.
I get the NFL Sunday ticket for free.
There you go.
So not bad at all, man. Not bad at all. It's a pain in the ass to deal with the cable companies and the phone and them coming out and putting the satellite up and all that. But I'm paying less money.
There you go.
I have NFL Sunday ticket. And I have Golden Knights hockey.
So maybe the Golden Knights are just looking out for their fans. Hey, switch. You'll save money. You'll get NFL.
This was their plan to
this
save you
plan.
Money.
Yeah, that's what it is right there. So, okay. This has been a very, very fun episode of the Rink Rats. A big thank you again to Sage Sammons with the Vegas Golden Knights for getting head coach Gerard Gallant. Thank you, coach, for taking time. I know that you're going to be very, very busy here very soon, but we really appreciate the insight. We will be back next week with, I assume, a guest because we've had one 3 weeks in a row. Why stop now? And we're also going to preview the division that the Vegas Golden Knights play in, the Pacific Division, and in which we can talk about how brutal the Vegas Golden Knights went after the San Jose Sharks on Twitter because it was fantastic. So good. All that and more next week on The Rink Rats. Thanks. Bye.
Peace.